A lot of us have a lot of du'as that we want answered, but how do we get them answers? What is the du'a that is not rejected? We're going to talk about it in this podcast. Let's go. Assalamu alaikum. Welcome back to the Mindful Muslim Speaks podcast. I'm your host, Mindful Muslim, coming to you every week, especially in Ramadan, Mondays, Wednesdays, Fridays, to give you inspiration and motivation to keep going. Just so you know, we have an entire Spotify playlist for like last Ramadans and the Ramadans prior. So many extra tips that I'm not doing this year because I've already done them before. I'm menstruation, breaking bad habits, and all that good stuff. You can usually check them out on my Instagram handle inside of my links, or I'll see if I can put it below. But overall, there's this playlist and it's for Spotify, and I'll make sure it's below. Okay, so that being said, today's topic is du'a, and a lot of us are making a lot of ibadah in Ramadan, a lot of praying, a lot of this and that. And it is also really, really important that we think about du'a. Now, right before we do that, I want to give two little kind of like bits of information or shout outs. The first one is for those of you who are struggling with fasting, I just want to give you a little tip. You are not bad at fasting. You're just in a particular stage. So I just released an Instagram reel this morning, so you can go check it out on my Instagram, where I have what happens in your body when you fast. Stage one, stage two, three, and four. And stage one is the one everyone kind of struggles with, which is when your body is going through the cleansing process. There is this amazing hikmah behind why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes us fast for 30 days, because within this 30-day cycle, He doesn't just purify our heart and our mind, but our entire body. And so there's this cleansing process. And so the video will show you with visuals what's being cleansed in your body in stage one, which is why you're more prone to headaches and nausea and lethargy. And like, it's totally normal because your body is cleaning itself. When it goes to stage two, it's doing something else. Stage three, you start to get that maximum energy back. In stage four, you're at optimum health if you do it right. So alhamdulillah, there's this beauty. So if you're struggling, it's not because you're a bad Muslim. It's not because it's impossible for you. It's because you're at a certain stage. You just got to get past that hump and you'll be good. So alhamdulillah for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and all the wisdom behind what He does. Number two, I want to give a shout out for just amazing, amazing work being done by so many of you. A lot of things that you're doing. First of all, one of my favorite things, I'm just going to be honest, it just warms my heart, is the family challenge that we're doing right now. I wake up in the morning, I go on Telegram, and I see all the cutest little faces of 3-year-olds, 4 or 5-year-olds saying adhkar, you know, sharing the good deeds they did for their neighbors, reading stories with you guys as their moms or whatever it is. So for those of you who are in the family challenge, shout out to all of you who are sharing. And we have that inside of Thrive is something we do. And then we're going to meet together where the kids get to go on video camera on Sundays at the family meetup to share all the good things they're doing. So, you know, like kids want to be, they see us going on video, they see us going on phones, but we don't feel safe to put them on social media. So this is a very private group. And this is again, inside of Thrive Muslim. A lot of you guys know about that we have. So it's www.mindful-muslimah.com. Anyone can still go in, but I just want to give a shout out to the moms and kids. And another one is to all the amazing speakers that we've had and ladies that have attended. We had recently a session on fiqh, on how to make wudu, ablution, menstruation, fasting. A lot of women have a lot of questions about their period, if I can be frank, about fasting. Do I have to make intention out loud inside? So we had a sister, and she's doing a 4-part series with the fiqh of it. And so she has a background in that, and she's coming on. Did her first session already. She has 3 more coming. So if you have any questions, she's at your disposal every single session inside of Thrive. Another one, shout out to sister, I think it was Aliyah Umrayan. She came on and she read a part of her book. Sister Elizabeth came on yesterday, and she was doing, you know, people who are struggling with fasting and, you know, and hydration and lethargy and all that stuff from a nutrition standpoint, how to deal with that, and was answering questions on exercise and nutrition and things. So that was really, really lovely. We have some amazing ones coming up. We have one for Sister Seneth, I think, leave today for mental health. If there's some things that are going on with you with worry and anxiety and grief and all that stuff. So it's really, really diverse this year. And I'm so, so proud of all of you who are doing that hard work. So I mean, let's pen with that. I reward you for everything. And we don't forget, as you attend those sessions, the number one attendee will end up getting a $400 gift basket from us for just really trying hard. We want to reward women who are striving. Last kind of shout out is to all the women in our Racing for Reverts challenge. We just have so many challenges, but I'm really, really excited about like the energy in them. There's one where we're doing a $500 prize. If you set up a campaign, I'll put the link below. If you want to participate, you can still do it. We're giving a $500 prize to the first winner and $250 to the second runner-up of whoever raises the most money for Reverts this Ramadan. So really excited. We've had a really good start. And alhamdulillah, I think there's a good number of you. So you just basically click the link. It makes a campaign in your name, and then you just share that link with all your friends, and they just basically, and their family members, whatever, or on your social media, wherever you want to share it, WhatsApp groups, and then people donate, and if you're in the first or second place, you will get a prize. So, I mean, obviously there's a prize, but it's a lot the most important, but never hurts to have some motivation. So love you all for the sake of Allah. Let's get started. The dua that's not rejected. So where am I getting this from? Well, alhamdulillah, Ibn al-Qayyim, he was in a gathering and he did an amazing summary containing the tremendous amount of good where he clarified the most important things befitting for those who want to make dua to concern themselves with when they call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he was doing this whole speech and after he gave all these rules of these things, basically like if you do them, they increase your dua to not be rejected. And after the speech, he said, indeed, this dua, it is rare that it will not be rejected. So I was like, oh, we need to hear what he said in there. So therefore, it's some really, really good advice. And I want to spread his speech in there. And so here's a couple things. I'm going to say them. There's a list. Now, you don't have to do all of these, but these are the one, like if you did do all of these are great. But even if you just did one or two better in the way that you make dua, is just going to be that much more powerful. And I'll give you a little bit of information. I could go like for ages on each one of these, but you know, in the respective time, I just want to make sure you get them. Okay. So number one, the presence of the heart and its consciousness of objective. I mean, we're making dua, but we shouldn't be like making dua while we're doing something else. We're just like just literally taking a moment to pause, maybe close your eyes. It's not like required. I'm just saying like just to have that moment and be like, ya Allah, not like, oh, I'm doing this, own this, I'm talking to you, oh, bismillah, blah, blah, blah. Like make it less passive and more intentional. And make dua to Allah when, you know, you're really, really present in your heart, because he really takes it so much more differently that way. So that's number one. Number two is coinciding with the six prescribed times for acceptance. So they're these best times of the day. And I want to tell you what they are. They're the last third of the night, the time of the adhan, between the adhan and the aqama, at the end of the prayers, like the five prayers, each one of them, there's a time right there. From the time the imam ascends to the member on the day of Jum'ah until the salah is completed, and the final hour after Asr. So these are the like kind of like the golden times, like the best times to make dua. So if you were going to make dua, like if you could also make them in that time, you can make them any time. But if you could, it would just be that much better. Also, number three is having like the submissiveness of the heart before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, feeling like you are nothing and Allah is everything and you couldn't do it without him. Like having that presence of not just like, oh, I'm having a moment with Allah, I'm going to make dua, but like, I am at your disposal. You are everything to me. I will have no success without you. And so alhamdulillah, that's really, really something to have in your heart as you're doing that. And alhamdulillah rabbil alameen, invoking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with submissiveness and humility Indeed, he does not love the aggressors. This is what was revealed to us. So he likes when we're humble to him. Alhamdulillah. So that's number three. Number four is facing the Qibla at the time of Dua. Facing it's considered like a lofty manner of Dua. And so it's been authentically narrated from the Prophet, peace be upon him, a number of situations that he would face the Qibla and make Dua, just as it occurred in the Battle of Badr when he saw the abundant amount of non-Muslims compared to the Muslims. He was like jarred by that. So he faced the Qibla and he stretched his hands out and he made Dua, and Allah gave him success. The fifth one is purification when making Dua. So purification is also the manner of Dua. There's no doubt that if a person's making Dua in a state of wudu, then it is better and more complete for him than not. So like, these are really simple things, right? Like, I'm just saying, even if you wanted to snatch up the one on like, hey, you know what? Like, don't just make Dua while you're doing something else. Pause, make your Dua, keep it moving. Now, I know some of us, we only have a moment, we're in the car or we're this or that. So that's okay. But try to avoid those, is my point. Number two, imagine if you made wudu and then you made Dua. Like, that's just easy. Just get into this habit of making wudu and then making Dua, right? Little things like this, right? It's really easy. Or just facing the Qibla. You're going to make Dua anyway. Just face the best way. Right? So raising the hands and making dua, not to the skies, okay? We're not like this, just up. Salman al-Farisi narrated that the Prophet, peace be upon him, said, indeed, your Lord is shy, ever generous. He is shy to allow worshippers' hands to return empty after they are raised to him. So just like literally putting them up because he doesn't want to leave you empty. So like, even if I did that now, I'd say, ya Allah, help us to make dua in the best of ways that is pleasing to you and to be successful in this. Ameen, ya Rabbal Alameen. I just raised my hands in dua, and Allah does not like to leave our hands empty. So I'm hoping he made this very, very good dua for all of you, and it's accepted. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is free of need from us. Now, the seventh matter that was mentioned by Ibn al-Qayyim is beginning with the praises and glorification of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then asking him to grant the Prophet, peace be upon him, praise, and then making your dua. So like starting with the good names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ya Razak, like Ya Kareem, like whatever you call him, his beautiful names, and then asking for the peace upon the Prophet, peace be upon him, and even still, you know, it's good even if you had make astaghfar before, if you had ask Allah, let's pretend you're in a bad state with Allah, you're having a really bad fasting day, even before you make dua, if you can make astaghfar, Ya Allah, forgive me for whatever I did today. When you're coming to Allah in a state of astaghfar, that's good as well. And then you're doing this, subhanallah. These are the da'as, they are not rejected by Allah. Number eight is what I just said. That was kind of like a combo, which is repenting and seeking forgiveness before the da'a. So you do that before the da'a, and then you do this. I was taught that by my teacher, so it's become so habitual. Like, I don't even have to think about it anymore. So that's something that's really good. Like, once you do it once or twice or three times, maybe this whole Ramadan for 30 days, it will become a life habit. So how much stronger will all of your da'a be, bidnillah? The ninth matter is to be persistent in making dua and not impatient in wanting an answer. The invocation of one of you is answered as long as he is not impatient, saying, I supplicated to my Lord, but I was not answered. From the tremendous manners of dua is being earnest in asking and repeating the dua and being consistent in asking, along with the advantage of the virtuous times. So like, if you haven't had your dua answered, just ask yourself, am I doing all these amazing tips? Maybe if you go back and you do some of them, they'll really, really help you out. Whoever contemplates on this dua and the people of understanding mentioned at the end of Surah Al-Imran will notice how they kept repeating the statement, our Lord, and subhanAllah, it is just mentioned that it's okay to repeat, but not because you don't like, not because you think like Allah didn't hear me. Of course he heard us. He answers the call of the caller when they call, right? But just to show Allah you have patience and you're just going to keep making until he answers, whatever. The 10th matter is combining hope and fear, khawf wa raja. This is really, really important because verily, the Prophet, peace be upon him, in Surah, the stories of the prophets, and Surah Al-Anbiya, they talk about how they saved them from difficulty in their trials, and it was ended in the statement, verily they used to hasten to do good deeds, and they used to call upon us in hope and fear, and they used to humble themselves towards us. So this is really, really important to do, alhamdulillah. The 11th matter mentioned by Ibn al-Qayyim is seeking intercession by the way of his names, his attributes, and his oneness. So seeking a means of closeness to Allah by his names is from the greatest, and attributes is from like the greatest means for the acceptance of du'a. To Allah belongs the most beautiful name, so call upon them, right? That's what's told to us. Our Lord, judge between us and our people in truth, and you are indeed the best of those who give judgment. And provide for us, for you are the best of providers. So keeping this in mind, the Prophet, peace be upon him, taught Abu Bakr, O Allah, indeed I have wronged myself a tremendous wrongdoing, and no one forgives sins except you. So forgive me forgiveness from you, and you have mercy upon me. Indeed, you are the all-forgiving, most merciful. And so these are the things that we are told to do, and it's really, really important. And you know, I ask that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts these from us. The 12th matter is giving charity before da'a. Well, it's Ramadan, so it's so easy, right? You make a donation, and then you make a da'a. Then be like, oh, well, you know, I wasn't making the charity so I can get my da'a. I answer, but it's okay. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you could say, I know this is from the sunnah, ya Allah, to give a charity and to make a da'a, so I'm following your sunnah, ya Rabb. And that's it, so you don't have to feel guilty. The third matter is striving to use the da'as whose supplication the Prophet, peace be upon him, informed us would be accepted. So an example of these supplication is when the Prophet, peace be upon him, said the supplication of the Nun when he called and he was in the belly of the whale. There is nothing worthy of worship except you. Glory be to you. Indeed, I was one of the wrongdoers. Indeed, no Muslim man makes du'a with it for anything except that Allah will answer it. And on the authority of Anas ibn Malik, the Prophet, peace be upon him, heard a man saying in his du'a, O Allah, I ask of you because you are the one worthy of praise. There is nothing worthy except you, that you are the ever generous, the originator of the heavens and the earth, O one of honor and generosity, O ever living, O sustainer. And the Prophet, peace be upon him, said, indeed, he has called Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with his great names, which if he is called by it, he answers. And he is asked and he gives. So alhamdulillah, this is the conclusion of the advice given by Ibn al-Qayyim. And these are the general rules and manners in making dua, which were brought by him in his speech. So it is befitting for every Muslim to subscribe in this, in the dua in Ramadan. And truly, whenever we're gathered like this, and we do these types of things, our du'as will not be rejected. Bidnillah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept all of your du'a. Please, sisters, I ask for you to make du'a for me. Make du'a for my family. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us all of our sins and grant us Jannah al-Firdaus. Ameen, Rabbil Alameen. Jazakum Allahu khayran. I ask the same du'a for all of you. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept all of our ibadah today and the days to come. I love you for the sake of Allah. Assalamu alaikum, rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.